Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Long bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm gonna ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're live. Welcome to The Fighter's Voice, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Don McGuire, being joined by my mutual host, Mr. Randy Marshall. You know, Bare Knuckle has kind of taken over my show lately, and I want to let a lot of my listeners know that we are now the new home for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, and I'm truly honored to bestow that. You know, tonight's guests are two tremendous warriors. The first guest tonight being Joey Beltran. You know, you can look at the fight that happened in June of last year, and I don't care if you look at boxing, you look at MMA, you look at any aspect of fighting, I truly take away is that being one of the greatest fights I've ever seen between two tremendous warriors. With that being said, I want to welcome Joey Beltran to the show. Joey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
No complaints, man. I got you on here, and 2019 is looking awesome. You know, I kind of want to take things back just a little bit before we talk about Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships for USA versus Mexico. You know, you were a tremendous aspect, and some could say a legend in MMA. You know, you fought in the UFC and many other promotions. What was it that inspired Joey Beltran to step up into the aspect of Bare Knuckle?
I mean, to be honest with you, I was just having a really hard time getting any MMA fights. I was I thought I was retired. I went a year and a half without fighting. I went through some personal hardships that I had to deal with, and was, you know, cleaning up my life, getting back on track, getting back in the gym. But I was just couldn't get a fight anywhere. I was in a rough patch. I had been cut by Bellator. And so I was at that spot where it's like, okay, I'm not in a big promotion, but regional shows kind of don't want to bring me on because they're apprehensive. They think maybe I have a high price tag. And then also, I mean, local people that are trying to come up, you know, local fighters, you know, they don't want to fight. They don't want a tough fight. They want to pad the record usually. They don't want to take that risk and you know, lose a mark on their record when they're trying to come up. So it was like a shitty spot for me, you know, and randomly, one of my old managers called me and, but even before Bare Knuckle, one of my old managers called me and he's like, hey, there's an opportunity out here to come fight Sergey Karatanov in Russia. It was kind of random. I was like, dude, I'll do it, man. I'll do it. 5 weeks notice, I went out and fought Sergey Karatanov. For the RCC, Russian Cage Fighting Promotion, Russian Cage Fighting Championships, out in Ekaterinburg was the city, and I went to war with him for 3 rounds, and then I got back home, and I was like, all right, man, I definitely still have some in the tank, like, I can still do this. And so that's when I was really having a rough time. I couldn't get any fights, blah, 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 and then so then one of my old coaches from Alliance, Eric Del Fiore, who manages Rowdy Beck, you know, Bare Knuckle's champion right now, who manages Rowdy Beck, and he's like, hey, man, your name came up. These Bare Knuckle people were interested in you. Are you down? I thought, yeah, man, fuck yeah, I am. Let's go. And, you know, then I they threw out the opportunity to fight Tony Lopez again. I was like, oh, yeah, oh, for sure. Give me that fight. I'll do that. You know, I'll fight Tony in front of a liquor store. You know, I don't really give a shit. I don't care. I'll fight him. you know, and so that's how that came about. And so the kind of funny thing is I thought the conversations that I was under the impression that we were in the tournament, right? And so then we get out there and we get onto the show and there's like some mix up and then we're not in the tournament, we're alternate spot. And then like the funny thing is they made us a swing bout that night, which if you don't know what that means, basically you don't have a spot in the show. Like wherever there's time, they're gonna stuff you in. And so we're literally like you sit around all night. You kind of have to essentially be warmed up all night because at a moment's notice you can just get thrown in. And it just so worked out that we got thrown in like second to last, so to close out the show. And yeah, man, we lit the place on fire. And
yeah, that's what I was gonna say, man. Little to be known that, you know, the second to the last fight that they throw in ends up to be fight of the year for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. You know, that was a tremendous night for you. And the reason I say that is because you had faced Tony Lopez twice before, and you walked away with a lesson learned. This night you had an opportunity to get back. What was on the mind of Joey Beltran as you walked into the ring to face Tony Lopez? Was there a chip on your shoulder? Was there an aspect of you that said, you know, I have to get this win. I have to take back a certain aspect from my past.
I mean, yeah, man, it was weird. It was pretty emotional for me because it was so much symbolized. There's so many, what's the word? Yeah, it symbolized so much to me on the inside as far as where my life. And then where we fought finally like almost 2 years later again, and they were both losses, you know, but then my career went one way, his career went another way, and then like we never crossed paths. But, you know, I always had my eye on what he was doing and what he was up to, and just the thought in the back of my mind, I want to fight him again. You know, the first time that we fought, you know, he snapped my arm. Because I was too young and stupid to tap back then, and I learned that mistake. That was a learning lesson. That was a lesson learned. And then fought my way back. I went on a run. I went on a good run, like five wins, five first round knockouts to get an opportunity to fight him again. And then we went five rounds for the King of the Cage title. Went the whole distance. That was a crazy experience in itself, man, to go 25 minutes with another man back and forth, you know, and I lost that one.
It's crazy, you know.
Like, I think I won. I know that he thinks I won, because I remember back on MySpace, in fact, that shows how long ago it was, he wrote some shit on his page about how, you know, yeah, the wrong guy got the decision tonight, let's run it back. You know, but whatever, like, and then the next fight, like, I beat Houston Alexander, and then I got in the UFC, and then I never, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride ever since, you know, so it all worked out the way it was supposed to work out.
Yeah, your career has been tremendous, though, bro. I mean, not very many fighters get the opportunities that you have. You know, you kind of joke around about it. You know, I was in Bellator, then the UFC, then back to Bellator. You know, you only get what you earn. You know, you truly get what you earn in the sport, and you truly have proven yourself time and time again. You know, when you look back at the last fight between you and Tony Lopez, man, I got to tell you, I've been in this industry 23 years. I've been doing journalism for 15. And I got to tell you, that fight right there, and many people have been very, you know, boisterous about it, that it's probably one of the best fights to ever happen. Now, when you sit back and you go back to the last fight, you won via unanimous decision. But would you say that in your heart and in your mind and your soul as a warrior, that that was truly one of the hardest battles that you've ever faced?
Yeah. I mean, that one is when I went five rounds with him, five-minute rounds in him, and the King of the Cage title match. Both of those were like, yeah, man, they were like life-changing experiences, like as far as knowing what I can push through and just having that, you know, going into the bare knuckle fight, being in Wyoming, being at, you know, over 6,000 foot elevation, you know, I've never experienced that before, like, you know, but I just had to, like, I was having conversations with myself in my own head, like, just keep going, like, he's tired too, just push, and, yeah, man, just gutting it out, because, you know, that's what added more to the drama, and it added to the fight, like, we had nothing, we didn't have real much energy to freaking move, and all we could really do was just stand there and beat the hell out of each other, you know, because, you know, he's not a punk, I ain't no fucking punk, so it's like, we're gonna fight. And I was too tired to move. He was too tired to move. So I was like, let's just stand here and beat the shit out of each other.
And that's what you truly did, man. You guys stood toe-to-toe and just banged it out. That's what I love about your style, and that's what I love about his style. You two are two true warriors. You know, I'm going to pass the mic to Randy. Let him ask you a couple questions, and then I'll come back. Randy?
What was it like to take those gloves off and just bang and just feel your hands and what they were meant to do?
You know, like, I've been in plenty of street fights growing up and up into my early 20s. Really, like, up until, like, I started training martial arts. So I definitely have punched people and have been punched bare knuckle before, you know. It wasn't nothing... it wasn't a new experience, but I mean, being tired and being dead tired and just still going at it, like that was crazy, because it was weird. It's not like it hurt, but I could tell like I'm getting cut, like, oh, that cut, and then here comes the blood, and like it's weird because because the elevation and we're fighting, it was like in slow motion. It was like just seeing everything, feeling everything, and like, oh, that one's going to hurt. That one's going to bleed. It was a weird experience, but, you know, it made for good TV, so fuck it.
Randy, you got anything else, or are you just going to be quiet over there?
Yeah, I was going to say, how much of your training do you feel like you really had to change around? I mean, is this totally different than what you've done in the past, or do you feel that it's right up your alley and maybe that you finally found what it is that you truly love?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, as far as like the training aspect and preparing for the fight, like I just approached it like I was preparing for a boxing match. You know, I didn't do anything funky, like, you know, punch metal poles or anything like that, just my fist, and any nonsense like that. Like, I just was training like I was training for a boxing match, and you know, but then after the fact, like, yeah, man, it's I really like the sport. I think that I learned a lot. I learned after my last fight with Arnold Adams, who's now their current heavyweight champion, you know, I learned that I can't take any punches. Like, the goal is to not get hit at all, you know, because something as simple as like a jab could cut you. You know, I think it was literally the first exchange of the first round of my previous fight, I got split open over my left eyebrow, like, really bad. And so that is definitely something that I know, like, okay, like, in my head, in my fights, even in my MMA fights, like, you know, with little 4-ounce gloves, like, I don't care. Like, my mindset was like, hands up, chin down, I'm coming forward, and I'll walk through your jab, you know, to get my hands on you, to do my thing. And now, I realize, okay, no, you got to be a little more cerebral with this. It can't just be all nuts and guts. And people, it's funny when people see
the bare knuckle, and they think that it's, oh, it's brutal, it's just bloodshed. And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of blood, but I mean, it's very technical. It's a very technical sport. So I definitely like it a lot.
Yeah, it's tremendous. You know, a lot of people don't realize, they say, oh, well, it's brutal, it's this. This is actually the first form of combat. If you go back into the true aspect of boxing, you know, you go back to 1863, the John L. Sullivan bill, and bare knuckle boxing back then. But now we're in the new era of it. We're in the infancy of an old sport. How does it feel to not only know that you're compiling to your legacy, but you're also building a foundation and being instilled in the history books as a pioneer in the rebirth of bare knuckle boxing?
Yeah, you know, somebody mentioned to me, I've heard it more than a couple of times, that, you know, Tony and my fight was like the Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin fight for bare knuckle. Like that's what set the tone and really got people's eyes on the sport. So, I mean, it's definitely cool. I mean, that also was a big appeal for originally why I decided to take the bare knuckle fight, was to be part of something historical and to be part of, you know, something that was the first of its kind. It was definitely appealing, definitely.
Yeah, because it's something they can never take from you, bro. I mean, we can always build on our legacy, but you're being instilled into history books. I mean, you look at Arnold Adams, the first, you know, African-American heavyweight to ever receive the John L. Sullivan, you know, belt and the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships belt. You know, I kind of want to take you a little bit back. My show goes from here to there, but I'm sure you'll understand it all at the end. It rounds out, bro. You know, you come from a life of a little bit of struggle. You come from a very, I guess I could say it the best way I could say it is, when you were young, you were kind of a knucklehead like we all were. You liked to bang it out in the streets. You liked to, you know, get in a little chaos. What was it that led Joey Beltran to the path that you're on now?
Well, I always wanted to be the first dream was to be a pro boxer, because I just grew up idolizing Cesar Chavez, Julio Cesar Chavez. And then it morphed into like, oh, I want to go to the UFC. You know, I remember being a little kid, like 5 years old, vividly, and watching Bloodsport and see, like, oh, the Kumite. Like, I want to go to the Kumite when I grow up. Like, that's just what I was never thinking. And then when I watched the first UFC when I was about 11, I remember watching the first one on pay-per-view at my brother-in-law's house. And I was like, oh, this is the Kumite. That's where I want to go. That's what I want to do. And so even through all my years of struggle and just messing around and being a little criminal and all that shit, like, I was like, this isn't what I'm supposed to do. It's not what I'm supposed to do. You know, and so it wasn't until I was in my 20s, I think I was 24, and I was doing a school out in Hawaii, at University of Hawaii, and I just kind of stumbled across this gym. It's called Bull's Pen, and I just walked in. I watched the class first, and the next time I caught a bus over there, and I just walked in, took a class. I had wrestling experience from high school and boxing experience from when I was a little kid, and so the guy kind of let me train for free so I could help his heavyweights, and it was awesome, and I just got hooked ever since then. I remember I went to an X1 show out at the Blaisdell Arena, where Bellator just had their big show. I went to Blaisdell Arena and I watched one of the local promotions, X1, and I just remember seeing people that I was training with, like on that Wednesday, were fighting on Friday to thousands of people. I was like, oh man, this is real. Like, this is real. This can really happen. And that's like when I had a mental breakthrough. Like, I can do this. So I dropped out of school at University of Hawaii. I went back home and I just found a team called North County Fight Club, and they had like people like Jason Lambert and Eddie Sanchez, so UFC veterans on there. they just showed me the way. They showed me the path. Like, Jason had a real big part of my career, like, showing me how to train, how to be a professional, how to show up day in and day out and just grind. And, you know, that's just how it went.
A little hard time hearing you, Joey.
So that was back in 2006 when I started training. And had my first fight and never looked back. Just kept going.
You're breaking up just a little bit. I don't know if it's because of where you're at or whatever, but we'll continue the show. I'm going to toss the mic to Randy and let him ask you a couple more questions. Hopefully the signal will come in better for you. Randy?
Yes, sir. What is your driving force? I know sometimes in life we all have to get up and we have to convince ourselves why we do things, why we get up to go to work, why we step into the ring, why we go to the gym. I want to know what is your driving force that makes you step into the ring and want to be the best that you can be.
Well, can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I mean, originally, like, my original reason for fighting was to set a good example for my nieces and nephews, you know, to show them that it was through hard work, like, you can overcome and you can achieve anything, really. And then, like, kind of, like, through the years, it's just, you know, I've had different reasons, different motivations. I mean, I'm not going to lie, there's definitely years where just money was the sole motivator. And, you know, and now, at this point of my life, I can honestly say that I just love it. I just love it. And my wife gets mad. She wants me to stop. But I was like, I just honestly just enjoy the process so much. I just, like, when you ask me, like, what do you do for fun? Like, training. Training. That's what I do for fun. Like, I love it. I fucking love it. I love the process of, like, you know, meal prepping, hitting the gym, cardio, you know, sparring, bag work, everything. Like, I'm just in love with the process. So, like, even if I wasn't competing, I would still train, you know. So I would still spar. I would still get in there and scrap on a weekly basis. But at this point, you know, that's what it is, man. I just love it. And I know that I can't do it forever. I know that, you know, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel as far as my career. I'm a little bit older now, but, you know, I definitely can still fucking do it at a high level. I mean, people are paying me thousands of dollars and flying me all over the world to fight on pay-per-view. I think I'm okay at it, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Good deal. Do you plan on passing your art forward by teaching students and helping them possibly approach this career?
You know, to be honest with you, I've for years and years I worked in gyms, and you know, I've attempted to do that a couple of times, and I've just, how can I say this nicely, like, I just don't put up with bullshit excuses. And as far as why you can't come to the gym or why you're missing practice. And a lot of times I heard that I have just like a standard, like, because I know what it takes. I know what it takes to get to the highest levels. Or not even at the highest level. To fucking be a successful regional competitor where you're at least making a couple thousand dollars a fight, you know, like,
Joey, we can't hear you, brother.
Yeah, I was going to say I can't hear either.
Yeah, Joey, are you still there? I don't know if his phone died or he's still connected. I apologize for the technical difficulties. We still have him online, so Joey, can you hear us? What I'll go ahead and do is I'll try to go ahead and give him a call back. We're running kind of short on time, but we'll try to give Joey a call back right now. Yeah, the call dropped, so we'll see what world is going on. I want to finish this interview. I apologize for the technical difficulties. It seems like he's in an area where his cell signal isn't very good. Let's see. We'll see if we can get him back on here right now. I apologize to my listeners.
One of the cons of live radio.
Oh, yeah. You got to just roll with the mic and back.
7-6-0-3-3-0.
I hope his phone didn't die. You know, Randy, you're not doing too bad for your first time on the radio, but it's killing me because we couldn't hear him. He might be in an area where he's not getting, or he might be trying to call back. Let me go ahead and try to call him one more time. If not, we're going to have to move on. We didn't even get to the heart of it yet.
Hello, sorry about that.
Hey, we got you back, brother. Hey, as long as we got you back, it's no harm, no foul. I'll go ahead and pick up the questioning. You know, you talk about you thought you were finished with the sport. You talk about you thought, you know, maybe things were going to, you know, time to hang things up. What did it mean for you, Joey, to get that call from the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship and offer you this opportunity to step into their promotion?
Well, the thing is that I don't the first one was kind of like apprehensive. I didn't really know what was going to happen, you know, because I've dealt with the horror stories of, you know, and fighting and literally not getting paid. So you know my heart actually goes out to those other people that fought for that other promotion that screwed over all the fighters. You know, I've been there before. I didn't know what was going to happen. Nobody knew what was going to happen, you know. That's what made it exciting. You know, so after the fact, you know, and then now, you know, developing a relationship with David Feldman, who's, you know, the thing is he's an ex-fighter, you know, the CEO of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. He's an ex-fighter. I mean, either I feel like he cares, and you know, and coming from my experience of fighting in the UFC, you know, I was by no means a big star or anything like that. You know, I fought 10 times for them over the course of 4 years, and I never had a single conversation with Dana White, and minimal conversations, like just high and by with like Joe Silver. So it was like, that was my experience. And then in Bellator, like Rich Chow was really cool. It was really cool. So it was different. Every promotion was different. And then now David Feldman, him and I are pretty cool. Like, you know, I definitely feel like he cares about his fighters. He's invested in 100%. So I'm excited to be on it. I recently fortunate enough to sign a multiple fight deal with them. So that is when I got really excited. Like, oh, wow, these guys like me. All right. Okay. So I'm going to be doing this for a while now, you know, and I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked to be on the brink of retirement to now multiple fight deal with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. It's pretty awesome.
You know, I got to agree with you there. You know, I was sitting at home one night and my phone rang, and that was David Feldman. He said, you know, Don, I really like you. He said, you're not afraid to take out a promotion. You've always been willing to go against the grain in the sport for the betterment of the fighter. And I'm going, wait a minute, this is a promoter telling me this. And, you know, I know Nate Shook, and I know all these gentlemen that we're speaking of. And so, you know, he said, you've always been true to the sport. And he said, let's do something. Let's line something up and have my fighters come on your show. You know, he says, when you run a promotion the way I do, you have nothing to worry about because it's for the betterment of the fighter. And you said it yourself. He truly cares about the fighters. That's the only reason why I took on the Bare Knuckle Fighting promotion onto my syndicated radio show, is because for the first time in the sport, I can actually say there is a transparent promoter, and that being in Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. You know, so It's a tremendous opportunity, it's tremendous growth, and you actually got somebody who truly cares about you. You know, that's something that doesn't happen in this sport. You know that, and I know that. You know, I'm a little confused because it's a USA versus Mexico, and both you and Tony both are Mexicans, so who's representing what, brother?
Well, I think what it came down to is that he's a Native American also, so he's got some Native American blood in him. So that's why I won by coin toss, maybe. I don't know. But I'm on Team Mexico, so.
You know, I got one more question. I'm going to toss it to Randy. He'll ask you a couple more, and then we'll let you get about your evening, sir. You know, February 2nd is going to be a tremendous opportunity for you. It's going to be a tremendous night. What does it mean for a fighter like yourself to have a true management company in TNT and in Dave Thomas? How does it feel now knowing that you're going to go into February 2nd with one of the best management teams out there and one of the best promotions? What does it mean to the Mexicutioner to have that type of team stand behind you?
You know, it means a lot. I can't really it definitely takes a load off of my back. You know, I definitely have somebody that I know that's fighting for me. And as far as like David Feldman, I mean, Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas, my manager. You know, TNT management. You know, me and Dave, the cool thing is that we had a relationship, a professional relationship earlier, and we actually had a falling out. Not a falling out, where I was like, hey, I'm not happy with the way it's going. And he was like, no, 100%. If you're not happy, you can walk away, no questions asked. Let me out of my contract. I went and messed around, did some other stuff. And then we met up again, and then we were just like, let's do it right this time. And you know, we're doing it right this time, and everything's going well. I'm so happy with his performance. I'm so happy with, like I said, man, signing that multiple fight deal with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship is awesome. It's just validation that I still can do this, and I'm excited, man. You know, there's a lot of the future's. You know, we got February 2nd. God willing, I make it through there, and everything goes off well, like we've been preparing for, and then the future's bright, man.
Really is. You actually got the world sitting on the edge of their seat right now because everybody and their brother wants to see this fight come February 2nd. It's probably going to be one of the biggest fights in bare knuckle history in the new era aspect. And I commend you on that, brother. I'm going to hand the mic to Randy, let him ask you a couple more, then we'll kind of wrap things up here. Randy?
I just want to take it back to as far as being an instructor and basically holding your students accountable for their actions or lack thereof. I just want to say that's a great thing, and I think there needs to be more coaches like that. If that's how you teach, then I think there needs to be more coaches like that.
Well, you know, it's like there's a big difference between wanting to learn martial arts, wanting to get in shape, wanting to learn self-defense, have a good time, and drop some pounds. You know, that's a whole other thing. As opposed to if somebody comes to me and says, I want to fight, I want to compete.
Bingo.
Right, then it's a whole other can of worms. And I think people, it sounds good when it comes out of your mouth, and it sounds good to post stuff on Instagram and all that good stuff, but there's just a lot that goes into it. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not glamorous at all. It fucking sucks. And, you know. People find out pretty quickly.
They don't want to put in what it takes.
Yeah, you know.
100%. And also, I want to vouch for Dave Feldman as well and say that he's actually a really good guy. And I've had some fighters on his card in the past, and I can tell you that he takes care of anyone and everyone that comes in his direction, and anyone that does business with Dave's going to be very happy.
Yep. Everything's going really good. So far, so good, man. I'm happy.
Most definitely. You know, Brother, it's a tremendous thing to see athletes and warriors like yourself be able to find a new attribute, find something that makes them happy. What did this aspect, you know, I'm going to ask you one more question after this, but what did this aspect allow for you, not the warrior, but the man, you know, as the family man, what did it allow you to look back and give back to your family? You know, because there's things in life we overlook. There's aspects we overlook. What did this second chapter in your life allow you to give back to your family that you truly wanted to but never could?
You know, like, a little bit, not necessarily. Like, I've always been, like, really good at giving gifts. Like, that was, like, I mean, I grew up poor, so it was just, like, I would give gifts. And now I see, like, the value is more, like, the time. And even if I'm tired after training, like, no, man, I make it a point that I'm there and I'm talking and I'm present with the kids and really enjoying everybody's company. And so it's not so much, like, you know, more financial resources or anything like that, because I always had money. And I was always really good about, like, buying PlayStations and buying TVs and shit like that. You know, this, if anything, like, now in my older age, I see that, you know, the money is great for paying bills and everything, but I see the value is way more in spending time and going to dinner and having conversations and stuff like that.
Yeah, things money can't buy. I love that, man. You just made me respect you that much more. You know, you've been a tremendous warrior in the sport, and nobody can take that from you. And you've come from, you know, perseverance. You've learned that, you know, pride and passion and respect through that. And now you've got this opportunity come February 2nd. You know, if you had to make a statement, because the world is sitting on the edge of their seats, brother, for this fight, if you had to make a statement about February 2nd, and I know you don't talk shit, but if you had to make a statement, what would that statement be to the bare-knuckle community, the bare-knuckle world?
Yeah, man, I think that February 2nd is going to be a brand new, I don't want to say brand new, but definitely going to be a new version of Joey Beltran. That, you know, this is not something that I'm looking to do one fight and be done. Like, this is me and my trainer, and my longtime friend and coach, Adam Castro, that we've been in the lab for, you know, since February of last year. Just boxing. And things are just starting to come, are starting to flourish and starting to come out in the gym. And it's, I'm excited for this next fight. So I just want everybody to be excited and get ready, because, you know, it's not going to be a 5-round war. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to get that finished.
And couldn't put it better myself. You know, Joey, it was truly an honor and a privilege to have you on the show tonight. I look forward to having you back on after February 2nd. I wish you the best of luck in Cancun, Mexico. USA versus Mexico. We'll see how it all plays out. We know one thing. Like I said earlier, the world is on the edge of the seats. You have proven to the world that this is a fight that everybody wants to see. And that's got to be a little pep in your step there, bro, because you've proven to the world that an add-on fight ended up being fight of the year, and now it's going to be the rematch of the year. You know, that's a tremendous accolade in itself. You know, Joey, I wish you the best of luck. Congratulations to you on the multi-fight deal. You truly deserve it, my brother. I wish you the best of luck. I'm going to toss the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, Carnal, the floor is yours.
Hell yeah. Yeah, man, thank you guys, everybody, once again, for the support out there. My social media, I'm on Twitter at Mexicutioner760, on Instagram and The Real Mexicutioner. Other than that, oh yeah, my sponsors, man, huge shout out to these people taking care of me. Let's see, as far as what I'm putting in my body, man, I got NatFit, you can find them on Instagram, NatFit San Diego, Carlsbad Alkaline Water, Man Up Industries, Cryo, yeah, Chill Spot Cryo in Vista, California. Check them out. Nakoa Performance, giving me physical therapy, keeping my this old body functioning at a high level. Yeah, man. Triumph United, of course, is always the best gear in the land. And Hans Mollenkamp, who's been supporting me since 2007, man. Yeah, man, follow my coach, Adam Castro. Coach Adam? I don't know. Look him up on he's from CrossFit. Look him up on Instagram. He's cool. And other than that, thank you, man. That's all I got. I'll see you on February 2nd, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, you'll see me February 2nd, brother. I can't wait to meet you in person and, man, see you write the next chapter in the story of Joey Beltran. You know, it truly is a tremendous opportunity for me to have you on the show. Like I said, I wish you the best of luck, brother. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
Bye. We're running just a little bit behind, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to try to get Tony Kryptonite Lopez on. Pretty dope dude, Randy.
Yeah, certainly, man. Those guys are going to really bang. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Hello?
Hey, Tony, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, brother?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm stoked to have you on. We just had Joey Beltran on. You know, to be quite honest with you, it's humbling when you have another fighter that is getting ready to face another fighter not talk any smack, man. You know, he truly said it like it was. He said that, you know, to go the full distance with you, to stand toe-to-toe with you, was truly a memorable moment in his career. What did that moment mean for you, you know, Tony? Because, man, you've been in the sport forever. You're the only guy I know, I think, that fights every three times a month and has fought everybody and anybody. But what did that moment mean for you to fight him in bare-knuckle fighting championships?
You know what, I mean, it was cool because, you know, yeah, I fought him twice in MMA and now, you know, it's bare-knuckle and it was totally different sport and different atmosphere, everything about it. And I said we put on the greatest show that night. And like I said, it was awesome. So, I mean, you know, I don't, there's nothing I could take away from it or give more to it because it was just perfect the way the fight went and the way everything was after the fight. And, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah. You know, it went to unanimous decision last time. I know things like that don't set well with you because, I mean, you're a warrior that just truly likes to give your best. You like to bang it out, and you do give your best each and every time you step in the octagon or a ring. You know, what aspect of Tony Kryptonite Lopez are you going to propel yourself come February 2nd so it doesn't go to the scorecard? So you can walk away with a decisive victory. What have you implied in your camp or in thought that is going to make a difference?
Well, I mean, the biggest difference for me is my starts. You know, I'm in MMA. You know, I started making myself, you know, use the first couple rounds to warm up and just, you know, enjoy myself. And that don't work in bare knuckle boxing because the rounds are too short and they go by so quick. And by the time, you know, the third round's coming around, I'm starting to warm up, and it's like, well, wait a minute, the fight's almost already over. So that's one of my biggest problems with that, is that I just would do the same thing I would do in MMA, but it messed me up in bare knuckles. So now my whole thing is just focus on coming out faster and applying the pressure and just doing more right away instead of just waiting and just, you know, seeing what they're doing and stuff like that. It's just go, 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 go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a mutual host with me tonight. I'm going to let him ask you a couple questions here in just a second. But, you know, Tony, I look back years. You've been coming on my show for years now. And like I stated earlier, you're the only fighter I know that who will truly fight. Man, you'd probably fight every weekend if you possibly could in a month. you would, you know, you've never turned down a fight. What is it that's instilled in the heart of Tony Lopez that wants you to be so competitive in the sport? And you've been this way throughout your whole career. You know, what is it about you, even at this age, that still has you wanting to go out there to, and face the best?
It's fun. You know, it's from back when I, you know, was a kid, you know, thinking about what you want to do, you know, when you grow up, and this was it. I wanted to fight. You know, I wanted to see, pretty much challenge myself, see where I stand amongst everybody else, you know, what level I'm at, and, you know, am I the best? Is there someone better? You know, if there is, hey, put them in front of me and let's go at it. And that's all it is, just always testing myself. And now, you know, that I'm older, it's still the same thing in the sense of where, well, now you got the youngsters coming up and, you know, they think, you know, hey, they're good or this or that. And it's like, well, you know what? Put me up against them. You know, I got, you know, they got youth on me. Well, I got experience, you know, and all that other stuff. So let's see where we go. So that's all it is, just challenging myself.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the few in the sport that truly does, and I admire you for that. As I said, I got a mutual host on the show with me tonight, Randy Marshall. I'm going to toss the mic to him, Tony, and let him ask you a few questions, Randy. Oh, I think we might have lost him. Let me go ahead and see what happened here. We've been having some technical difficulties tonight. Let me go ahead and try to call him back. You know, Tony, when Bare Knuckle Boxing reached out to you and asked you to be on the card, what did it mean for you to get this opportunity in a sport that you love so much, but to be able to take it to the new era aspect and go bare knuckle?
It was perfect. And I mean, I loved it because that was the one element I was missing in MMA is, you know, no gloves. And, you know, it's a different feeling when you get hit. You know, you feel it more, and it's a lot easier to get cut. So, I mean, there's a lot more, got to use a lot more, I guess, technique and skill to avoid those cuts. And, you know, you can't just go in there and take the hits and think, okay, you know what, I'll just blow these shots off and then go at it because, like I said, one good cut and the doctor's going to stop it. So, but anyway, like I said, it was awesome.
Yeah, and it's tremendous that they got Stitch for the cut man most of the time because he can stop any cut. I'm going to try to get my mutual host back on real quick. I apologize, Conal, but for some reason we're having technical difficulties tonight with the internet.
Don?
Are you back on? Yeah.
I am.
I apologize, brother. Go ahead and ask Tony some questions, sir.
Okay. You know, I did get the opportunity to see you guys' last matchup, and I can tell you at the very least, I am completely amazed at how much heart the both of you have. I mean, it was obvious that nobody was stepping in there to lose and that nobody was giving up anytime soon. And basically, do you feel that you're prepared to give that type of performance this time?
Actually, I'm prepared to give a better performance. So
right,
you know,
right.
So it don't go that same way. I mean, it's still going to be action packed because it's, you know, Joey against me, and eventually, I'm pretty sure, you know, it's going to start, you know, leading up to just brawling and trying to knock each other's face off. So
good deal. I mean, I definitely see why that was fight of the year. It was truly amazing that, I mean, both of you guys were getting in some amazing shots and you both just kept on going like no one was fazed. And that's really what the fight fan wants to see. I mean, some want to just see an easy knockout, but those that have really been paying attention and watching the sport and know the sport want to see two guys playing chess, and that's what I see when I see the two of you fight. I see a game of chess.
Yeah, well, you got to keep it exciting, you know. And yeah, like you said, you know, people love seeing knockouts. But when you get a knockout in the first round, it's like, man, I didn't even get to enjoy a fight. And what me and Joey did was we put on a fight. And, you know, like I said, it wasn't one-sided. It was going back and forth. So people were just didn't know, hey, is Joey going to get it? Is Tony going to get it? You know, is someone going to get that one shot? So, I mean, it was awesome.
You know, Tony, I kind of want to take a step back before Bare Knuckle, you know, because February 2nd, we can get to that in a second here. We already got you on here. But there's been something that's truly bothered the sport. People like me, that's been a photographer in the industry for 23 years, been doing radio for 15. Why is it that every promotion under the sun will allow you to fight, but why is it that the UFC has never truly given you that opportunity? Us in the sport, the inner workings of it, we feel that you've been given an unfair aspect, that you've never been given the opportunities that you truly have deserved. You know, do you feel that you've got some type of reciprocation with the opportunity in the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships?
Most definitely. You know, like I said, I don't know what exactly crawled up the UFC to not allow me to, you know, not give me no opportunities, no shots. And, you know, like I said, to me, that's all in the past. I don't really care about that no more. You know, that messed me, that messed with my head years ago in my career. And once I let it go, I was like, you know what, hey, that's water under the bridge. And Bare Knuckle is to me, my opportunity to shine. You know, it's a new sport out here, which is, you know, it's all under commission. So, you know, that's why I say it's not a new sport in the world, but it's new here in the United States. And it's great to, you know, like I said, be in the beginning of it and trying to make myself what I wanted to do in MMA through Bare Knuckle. So, I mean, my goal is, you know, go for that, for the heavyweight belt. I just got to, you know, do my job with Joey here, and then I'm looking at maybe 2-3 more fights, and, hey, I'm going to start calling out the champ.
You looking at Arnold Adams, huh?
Yep.
I think everybody's gunning for Arnold Adams right now. You know, I had him on the show. There's a poll. There's a poll actually out there right now that even Mike Kyle has stepped up and wants to face him. You know, Tony, one thing I've always respected about you is you've always been humble. You've always been the people's champion, no matter what promotion has not given you the opportunity. You've always showed the sport what you truly are about. You've always given to your family. You've always showed the greatest intent. You know, it's not a new sport per se because, you know, it's been around for, you know, 100 and something years. But it's a new era aspect of it now. How does it feel for Tony Lopez to know that you've already created this legacy, but now your name is being cemented into history? You know, that they're putting your names in the history books because of the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. This is an aspect that nobody can take away from you. What does it mean to Tony Kryptonite Lopez knowing that 10 years from now when a sports aficionado picks up a book, a history book on sports, your name is going to be in it?
Well, it's awesome. You know, that's what every fighter, well, at least me, I think that's what every fighter would want, you know, their names to be in the book, so that way if someone looks it up or Googles it or, you know, wants to find out about it, the name pops up and say, hey, look, there's Tony Lopez. Oh, dang, man, who is that? And then boom, 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 you know, a little bit about it. And it's awesome. You know, that's perfect for me. I love it. You know, and it's also for me, it's my kids, you know, for them to see that, like, oh, man, look, that's my dad. That's what he did and that's what he does. And it's awesome.
It's tremendous. You know, when I got the opportunity from Dave Feldman to run all the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships fighters through my show first, as Tuesday I got Beck Rawlings coming on. I've already had 3/4 of the card. You know, as I stated earlier with Joey Beltran, you know, he called me and he said he liked my style. He liked that I'm willing to go against the grain, but it's for the betterment of the fighter. What does it feel like for you to have a promoter and a promotion that actually is for you, that actually is for the fighter, does it compel you to give that much more of who you are as a warrior?
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes it a lot easier, you know, when the promotion and the organization, everything works with you and is looking out for your best interest, not just their best interest. So, I mean, me and Dave Feldman have had a lot of discussions about my fighting career, even with MMA, you know, because when he schedules me to fight, I got to make sure I don't have fights, you know, within a certain time period up to his fight, because if I do, then I can't fight on his card. And right now, you know, that's where I want to be. So, you know, MMA is like, if I get a call for a fight, I'm like, okay, well, what's the date? And if it's close to hit, you know, Dave's show, I got to run it through him. Hey, Dave, is this going to conflict with the show, or am I good? Or, you know, so he gives me the yay or nay, and we go from there. But like I said, it's never been anything about where he just like tries to lock me down and say, no, you can't fight nowhere. You know, you're my guy and this and that. It's like, no, you know, he lets me fight wherever, but as long as it doesn't conflict with his show. So hey, that's awesome.
You know, we talk about legacies. We talk about opportunities. You know, as Joey said, that you guys were a back burner fight. You didn't even know if you were going to fight on the last card, you know, in June. And here you guys end up getting fight of the year, you know, and pretty much have cemented your name in the bare knuckle boxing aspect. Was the situation the same for you? Did you get a multi-fight deal with the bare knuckle fighting championships as Joey did, or was it something that's on a fight per fight basis?
You know what? I can't say I got a multi-fight deal. It's just that like when we signed our contracts, we signed the contract. You know, it stated in there, the fine print, you know, you sign this, I'm his for 3 years. If I want to go find another bare knuckle organization, it's got to be okay through Dave. So, you know, like I said, Dave's a great guy, and he's not trying to hold me back or anything like that. You know, if I have opportunities, he lets me, as long as they don't conflict with him. So, I mean, he's got me for 3 years, and, you know, he's going to keep me as busy as he can. And then, you know, that's all I want. You know, you keep me busy, hey, that's awesome, you know, because like I said, the more fights I get, the happier I am. It's good.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have 9 cards a month, bro. You're the only one I know. I mean, I think there might be one other fighter, Shannon Rich. I think Shannon Rich is probably the only one that is just like you that's out there that doesn't give a crap, man. Just give me a contract. Tell me when, and I'm there. You know, and that's what I've always admired about you, Tony, is you're about family. You're about taking care of your family. You're about showing the sport who you truly are and what you're about. And that's a tremendous attribute to you. You know, you are the definition of a warrior. And I'm not kissing your ass. People, if you don't believe me, go look at Tapology. Go look at anything. And you'll see that this man has 120 plus something fights. I mean, how do you keep up with a rigorous pace, bro?
You know, it's my training methods, I would say, because they're not like everybody else's. So in turn, I don't hurt myself in when I'm training. I don't take any damages and stuff like that. Where a lot of times, you know, guys get hurt in the gym when they're training and stuff, sparring or grappling and stuff like that. You know, that's where they get hurt, you know, instead of the fighting. So my thing is, you know, when I train, it's like it's I'm just training. I'm working my technique and my strength, conditioning, all that kind of stuff. But where I'm not ever worrying about like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna get hurt and that, because that's taken out of the equation completely. So, I mean, the only time I get hurt is if I get hurt, it would be in a fight because of something my opponent did. You know, but other than that, I mean, in the gym and when I'm training and like that, it's 100% safe where I'm not getting hurt. So when I go into a fight, I go in, you know, 100% healthy.
most definitely. Randy?
When we're talking about legacies and history, I want you to picture this and envision this, that basically someday there are going to be people in a circle talking and speaking your name just like they do now when they speak of the Gracies, they speak of Dan Severn, and they speak of the pioneers of mixed martial arts. They're going to speak of your name in that same light in reference to bare-knuckle boxing.
You know, I mean, and that's great. And what I think about that too is because, you know, people always ask me, hey, you know, well, when are you going to stop fighting? And I'm thinking, like, you know what? I would love for people to be talking like that about me and going, you know what? And that old man's still fighting, and he's still whooping ass. So that's one of my other goals. But, you know, who knows how long that, you know, I keep this going. Because I said, my
kids
also.
Tell the truth, bro. You got to take the walker up to the cage or to the ring with you, man.
hey, if I'm allowed, I will.
Randy?
Yes, and also, do you ever think about taking this to the next step, maybe as you consider retirement, as far as teaching and passing on your legacy through students?
Well, yes, but see, it's it'd be the teaching. It'd be more of, how would I say? I'm planning on doing just teaching heavyweights, because anything other than that, it wouldn't work for me. You know, I know what
that makes sense.
A big guy has to do to get ready for a fight, and the things he could do opposed to a lighter weight. Because if I'm not a lightweight guy, it's like, hey, I don't know how to focus on, you know, someone your size. But yeah, you know, I plan on focusing on heavyweights that want to, you know, up their game and, you know, polish them up. Definitely, you know, I look at something like that.
Now, Tony, you've been in this sport, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but close to 20 years now. And, you know, a lot of fighters, they don't have that durability. They don't have the longevity issue. When you sit back now and you look over the shoulder of Tony Kryptonite Lopez, did you ever surmise that the greatest part of your career would come to you now?
No. I was hoping, you know, it would have happened, you know, 10 years ago. But and then, hey, second part now, but like I said, yeah, I would have thought 10 years ago, I would have had a shot at the UFC and shown how good I was in there. But like I said, I have no regrets that it's happening now, because it's happening. You know, as long as it happens, hey, I'm happy. If I never got that opportunity, then I'd be like, man, where'd I go wrong? Well, what could I have changed? But right now, I'm enjoying the moment. And I want to, you know, get everything I can out of it.
Yeah, I just truly feel you there. You know, coming from the humble upbringing that you had and the life that you have correlated for yourself, you know, it's been tremendous. You know, once in a while we get an opportunity, you know, not by choice, but by chance. And, you know, let's say you're walking down a path in a park and there's that puddle of water on the pathway, and you look down and, you know, Carnal, how we always get that one slight reflection or that look back into who we are. Who does Tony Kryptonite Lopez see?
You know what? Actually, in situations like that, I see the future. And I just see this old man who can still do what he does now, what he could do 20 years ago. I can't see myself slowing down. And I think that's one of the things that keeps me going, is that when I see my reflection and I look at myself, I'm like, you still got 20 more years. And, you know, as time goes on, it never changes. Hey, man, you still got 20 more years. So let's do it. Let's keep it going.
I love that. You know, I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to toss it to Randy, and then we'll kind of wrap things up, champ, because I know we've kind of taken a little bit more of your time than we should have. But, you know, this opportunity, February 2nd, Cancun, Mexico, you know, and Joey kind of made a joke of it, you know, because I said, well, how did they decide who was fighting for the USA and who was fighting for Mexico? He said, I guess a coin toss, because he said, Tony's got a little bit of Native American in him. So he said, he goes, I ended up on the Mexico side. But what does it mean for you come February 2nd to represent the United States for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships?
You know, it either way, whether it be Mexico or the United States, you know, I mean, it's just an honor to be able to participate in this event. So, you know, I'm representing the States, and, I mean, I grew up here. I was born here. So, I mean, of course, you know, hey, I'll represent because, hey, this is where I'm from. This is where I live. My roots could be from Mexico. Well, could be. My roots are from Mexico. But, you know, like I said, I'm here now. So it's an honor either way. So, I mean, I'm representing the U.S. and I'm fighting on my parents', you know, land. So it's great both ways. It's a win-win.
Yeah, it truly is, man. That's a win-win. You know, God, man, I'm so proud of you, Tony, because you've done things that not very many warriors in the sport can say they've done. And now you're just adding to it. That's tremendous. Randy?
I'd like to say that you both are stand-up gentlemen and warriors, and I really just want to wish the best of luck to the both of you.
Thank you.
You guys make the sport look good.
Well, that's why they pay us.
Randy's kind of new to this, Tony. You know, I'm like you, man. I like helping people in life. I like giving people opportunities. And, you know, Randy's a mixed martial artist, and I wanted to give him an opportunity to come on my big show and be able to ask you guys some questions and learn from some of the best in the business. You know, you truly have left an imprint, not only on the sport, but on the world. You know, I've been a fan of yours since day one. You, like I said, you've been on my show multitudes of times. You know, Tony, in life, sometimes there's those that walk in front of us. There's those that walk behind us. But the true ones that make a difference in our lives are the ones that walk beside us, the ones that give us that intent when we need it, the ones that whisper that's something we need to hear at that right moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity to thank those people because I don't think, you know, the fighters get that opportunity very often in life. You know, what does it mean for you to truly have those that have stood behind you, I mean, stood beside you throughout your whole career? What does it mean for a fighter and a warrior and a man like yourself to have that type of respect, you know, given to you? What does it mean to you going into each and every fight to have the mentality of people that believe in you as much as you believe yourself?
You know, it's a great feeling. And the best thing about it is that when you stop believing in yourself, they're there to remind you who you are and why you're here. And, I mean, you know, I wouldn't change anything about, you know, these people. I mean, these people is my family. You know, my wife, my kids, all of them have a part in my career, which, you know, from training to cornering, my kids have all, you know, been in the corner. My wife has been in the corner. They've all been, you know, at the gym when I'm training to make sure I'm doing everything right and I'm not slacking off. And, I mean, they're my biggest critics and my biggest fans. And I love them, you know, because without them, this dream of mine here, it wouldn't be, you know, it would be nothing the same. So, you know, I got to give the biggest thanks to my family. You know, after that, I mean, of course, you know, the fans out there, because, you know, just when I'm walking down the street or I'm shopping somewhere and I run into some or someone runs into me and or notices me and then comes up and, you know, wants to shake my hand, wants to take a picture, just, you know, and just that a feeling of them being just happy to see me, and then they talk to me a little bit. It's like, it's a great feeling for me. You know, every time that happens, I mean, I get a smile on my face, and it makes my day. The rest of the day, you know, my family's like, what's wrong with you? I'm always a good day today. And they're like, why? Well, because someone recognized me, and, you know, they wanted my picture, and, you know, like, I made an impact on their life, or, you know, something about, you know, the situation. And, I mean, they think I cheese a little too much, but, I mean, it's an awesome feeling. So, I mean, that's it right there.
And see, a good friend of yours and mine, Jacob Sisteran, you know, who is actually one of my show sponsors, he kind of got mad at me, you know, because I asked him one time. I said, "Bro, do you honestly take pictures with everybody? Do you honestly autograph everything?" Because I'm a 2-time inducted Hall of Fame fight photographer, and you know, coming up in the days, Tony, and you can maybe help my listeners understand this. You know, that, you know, back in the day, a photographer is a man in the corner. You know, we were seen but never heard. And that's the way the sport was utilized, and they utilized us. And now the sport has changed. You know, I go to events now, and people ask me for my autograph, or they ask me for a picture, and I don't like that. You know, and Stitch took me to the side, and he's like, "Bro, you got to." And I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "Because if it wasn't for those people, there wouldn't be a you, because there wouldn't be a sport." And so now I've kind of been doing that lately, man. I've kind of broken out of my shell, and I got to admit, you know, it feels good to have people respect you in that manner. You know, Tony, what you've done for the sport is tremendous. You know, I don't think there's been another fighter that I've respected quite as much as I do you, because what you bring to the sport is heart. And money can't buy heart. You can't teach heart, and you can't train a heart. You know, it's something you had to have instilled with you from your parents, from your upbringing, and from who you truly are in life. You know, you're a tremendous family man, and you walk a tremendous walk. But come February 2nd, a beast is going to be unleashed. You know, I know you like I know you, bro, and I know that you weren't content with the last fight in June. If you had to make a statement to the, you know, bare knuckle fighting fans around the world about what they can expect from you come February 2nd in Cancun, Mexico, USA versus Mexico, what would that statement be, brother?
Oh, you know what? If you look at my MMA career, my win, you know, how it's done, it's about, I think it's at a 92% or something like that, finishes. I think I only got like 5 or 6 decisions out of all my fights that I, you know, that I win. The rest are, you know, that I put them out or I submitted them. And with the bare knuckle, you know, I hate decisions because someone picks a winner. So my goal here is, no matter what, it ain't going the distance no more. And that's the statement I'm going to make on February. You step in the ring, I'm going to put you down and I'm going to put you out.
I love it, man. Spoken like a true champion of the sport. You know, Tony, I wish you the best of luck come February 2nd. You know, I'm going to toss the mic to Randy and let him say his farewells. Randy, you got anything to add before we let Mr. Lopez go?
Hey, again, I just want to say good luck, man. I wish I could be there to watch you guys. And I know you guys are going to throw a hell of a show like you did the first time. And like you said, I know you'd like to see it go differently and not to the scorecards, because I do know that it can go either way and it's not always good. But, you know, hey, man, virtual fist bump through the phone and good luck, brother.
Thanks a lot. And don't forget also, I mean, it's on pay-per-view too. So if you can't make it to Cancun, you can always get it on pay-per-view and watch the fight.
Oh, most definitely.
I will totally be watching.
And that's www.bareknuckle.tv. Check it out. Order your fights now, because if you don't, Tony, I'm going to be there.
You back, Don?
Yeah, I'm back. Watch it for a sec.
Yeah, I think Don might have cut out.
Oh.
I'm.
Is there anything you wanted to add, Mr. Tony, while we're waiting for Don to come back?
I'm back. I don't know what happened there, but technical difficulties are killing us, man. You know, Tony, what I want to reflect on what I was saying. You know, I'm going to go ahead and call it right now that this is going to be fight of the year for 2019. I apologize for the technical difficulties. You know, I truly think this is going to be another night that is going to just blow the minds of the sport world. I know you're going to bring it. I know Joey's going to bring it. You know, when you look at the opportunities of the sport, what does it truly feel like for you knowing that at this part of your career that Dave Feldman reached out to you and gave you this opportunity to show the world who you truly are?
You know what? I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm grateful to Dave Feldman for giving this opportunity. And I said that my whole goal is put on the shows, make them exciting, and keep coming back every opportunity I get and try and make them better than the one before.
Did we lose him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so where'd I cut off? what'd you hear?
You said you're extremely thankful. Yeah, the internet's going crazy tonight. I don't know why. You said you were extremely grateful.
I was extremely grateful for Dave Feldman for giving me this opportunity, and you know, my whole goal here with Dave and Bare Knuckle is every fight improve on it and make it more exciting than the last fight. So that way people want to come watch me fight.
Yeah, well, you've done it time and time again. You know, I'm going to hand the mic to you, Tony. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, anything else you'd like to add to the program? The floor is yours, Cornell.
Yeah, well, thank you. A big, big shout-out to my sponsors, Venture Cycles and All or Nothing Clothing. You know, they're my two best sponsors I got, you know, so I can't go wrong with that. Venture Cycles in San Bernardino here in California, always take care of my rides so I get to train, get to work, get anywhere I want to. And All or Nothing Clothing, that makes my shorts for the fight, you know, it gives me shirts, sweats, anything I need for, you know, to be ready to fight. So big props to them, my family, my fans, you know, and with, like I said, without the fans, I wouldn't be who I am. Without my family, I wouldn't be who I am. So, you know, I always got to give shout-outs to family and fans. And thank you guys, too. Big thanks to you. Can't forget about who's out there, you know, having people listen and hear all about, you know, bare knuckle and MMA and everything. So, you know, thanks to you guys, too, for giving us a shot, you know, a time to, you know, come out and shine a little more.
Most definitely. I can't wait to be in-house with you February 2nd, Cancun, Mexico. Can't wait to see you rock it, brother. On that note, when you're a live show, you can't control what the internet wants to do, you know, considering we're based out in New York. But, man, like I said earlier, I'll say it again. If you're going to miss this fight, you're stupid, because it's going to be the fight of 2019. It's going to be the fight of the year again. I know it. I feel it. Tony, I wish you the best, my brother. You have a good night, and God bless.
Thanks a lot. You too.
All right, brother. Man, you know, I'll tell you what. Tony Lopez is probably one of the greatest aspects of the sport. A lot of people don't really understand. This man has been around forever, and truly, I think we haven't seen the best of Tony Kryptonite Lopez. Randy, what are your thoughts?
I think if that first fight was any indication as to what we're going to see in this next fight, I have a feeling that this is going to be a war. I mean, we both know that both gentlemen are working extra hard to try to improve what they did last time. And we know both guys are looking for a knockout in this bout. Nobody wants to take it to the
to the scorecard. So I look forward to a huge war.
Yeah. You know, I apologize to my listeners for the technical difficulties tonight. We usually don't have this many technical difficulties for some reason. They're on the West Coast, so we'll blame it on them. We'll blame it on the California weather. We won't blame it on our show, even though it's who knows what it is. You know, Randy, I brought you on the show because I wanted you to get an opportunity to see what it's like to interview some of the greatest in the sport. How did it feel, brother? I mean, how did it feel to actually represent not just the show, but to be able to represent an aspect of bare-knuckle boxing as it's growing from its infancy?
It felt great, and I also want to say thank you for bringing me on and giving me this opportunity. And I also want to say I have a lot of respect for you, because as easy as you make it sound, it's not that easy at all to just get on and talk.
I told you, I'm just like you, man. I get scared each and every time I come on the show, too, man. I get nervous, you know, but I get quite a few years of experience underneath me. The show didn't actually go the way I wanted it to tonight, but, hey, sometimes we can't always be on point, you know, and that's what's terrific about life, is you wake up, you don't know what the day's going to bring, you don't know how things are going to go, and, hey, nobody's perfect. And, you know, that's what I love about the show. That's what the fighters love about the show, is it may not be the most perfect format sometimes because of technical difficulties, but they get to share their voice. They get to share who they truly are. You know, and the reason I don't feel it was my greatest show, because I usually get to share more of an in-depth detail of the fighters. And tonight I don't feel like I really did that. You know, my mic died on me. That's why you guys couldn't hear me. So I actually had to pick up a landline and jump back into the show. You know, these are little things that, you know, life throws at us. But you know what? When you got lemons, you make lemonades. And we were able to bring two tremendous warriors that had the fight of the year for 2018 for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. Dave Feldman, I appreciate the opportunity you bestowed upon the show to represent cheer fighters. You know, teaching everybody that's listening, this Sunday I will have UFC veteran Justine Kish on, and then Tuesday we'll jump back into Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. We will have the one and only Beck Rollins, the first female bare knuckle champion in the United States, coming from Australia over to here. And it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for me to interview a great aspect of the bare knuckle world. You know, you heard him mention Arnold Adams. Right now, everybody's gunning for Arnold Adams. You know, I love that guy's story. You know, I interviewed him early in his career before the tournament. And he'd given up everything he had. And they were basically living in their car to get this opportunity. And he got to be the first Bare Knuckle World Fighting Championships heavyweight champion, but he also got the John L. Sullivan belt, which was last given out in 1863, you know, and he was the first African-American ever to win this title. So I can bet money on it. This gentleman is going to fight his ass off to retain both these belts, because he's got two belts, the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship belt and the John L. Sullivan belt. And I can tell you what, there's a poll out there right now that, I don't know, Mike Kyle wants to fight him. Shannon Rich wants to face Gunn, but, you know, the fans want what they want. And right now it's neck and neck. It's 52% for Mike Kyle, 48% for Shannon Rich. You heard Tony Lopez say that he's looking two or three fights down the road to fight Arnold Adams. Whoever goes his way, it's going to be a war. You know, Randy, when you look at the sport of bare knuckle, they truly are creating a foundation in the American aspect of bare knuckle. And it's tremendous to see it done under Dave Feldman. He's a great aspect to the sport, to promoters, to people like ourselves that truly love the sport. You don't see a promoter or a promotion that truly backs a fighter, and Dave Feldman does. And with that being said, I'm truly honored that he allows me to interview these people. You know, I tell you what, I feel blessed, man. 2019 started. Don't make let tonight's show be a reflection of how my show usually goes. The technical difficulties killed us. But, man, I got to tell you, I'm stoked for February 2nd. I think the world is going to understand and appreciate bare-knuckle fighting that much more. Before we get out of here, what's your final thoughts, Fred?
I am, for one, very glad that bare-knuckle boxing is back. I don't see it too different from the way things began, and I don't understand why it went away from that, aside from protecting the fighters' hands. I mean, it really truly is just as safe as boxing, if not safer, because you don't have the heavy gloves hitting you in the head and adding that extra weight that could give you a concussion.
You know,
I'm glad to see it for one.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy for me. I'm going to be everywhere this year, you know, and it's going to be my final year of shooting. So it's going to be kind of different for me doing, you know, live shows and interviews from a promotion, but I can't wait to do it. It's going to be an aspect that I really have never put myself out there before to do, but it's getting kind of late, kind of want to wrap things up here. To the listeners, jump on my page, jump in the voting. Who would you like to see Arnold Adams fight next? You know, I personally would like to see Mike Kyle jump in with him, you know, but ultimately it's up to the promotion. You know, the fans will speak and the promotion will listen, because they truly back the fans of the sport, because that's who creates them. You know, Randy, it was truly an honor to have you on the show tonight. You know, I like to give everybody an opportunity, you know, and for you, it was an honor, because you're a brother of mine. And
You're my brother as well.
Yeah, I wanted to show you what this side of the mic is like. It's a little bit different. You know, now imagine I do this for 2 hours by myself. So it was kind of nice to have somebody jump on the show with me. You know, everybody's got to learn. Everybody's got to get an opportunity. And that's what life is about. So when you look at life, realize this. Nobody's greater than anybody. We're all equal. We all have to reach out and give each and everybody an opportunity to show who we are and what we're about. And give without expectations. You know, I truly want to thank Dave Thomas from TNT Sports Management for bringing his fighter on tonight. You know, I tell you, tremendous young man. And that was a hell of a war in June. I expect nothing less in February. Tony Kryptonite Lopez, you go back to bully beatdowns, you go back to all that aspects. I mean, the man has just been around forever. You know, with that being said, I want to thank my sponsors. Finished MMA with Juan Martinez. Cutting Out for Hire with Jacob Stitch-Turan and Juan Ramirez. I want to thank Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. And last but not least, the 86ers.net. You know, Randy, I'm going to hand the mic to you if there's any.
Was there anything in particular you're asking me, or is this an outro, or?
I don't have so many technical difficulties. I cheat dialed somebody, so it's best that I end the show. I'm going to hand the mic over to you if you have any social media sites or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, or give the monkeys a shout out. The floor is yours, brother.
Okay. As far as social media, I can be found on facebook.com/GodSamurai. We're just here trying to keep the bullies off the internet and trying to keep people honest, trying to promote the sport of MMA, bare knuckle boxing, trying to keep it honest and bring forth good people and good opportunities.
Most definitely. You know,
and thank you for having me on, Mr. Don. Much appreciated.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. I apologize to you and all my listeners for the technical difficulties. I'm going to have to go and chop this show up for for iHeart for Succession of next week. But, hey, man, it is what it is. You can't take back the past. You can only look towards the future. You know, with that being said, I want to thank each and everybody for joining us. I want to thank you, Randy, for coming on the show. It takes quite a bit of balls to come on a live version of my show, especially with such tremendous talent that we had on tonight. And, you know, I think I'm going to take us out with a little bit of Young King. You know, that's one of my favorite beats. On that note, everybody have a good night, and God bless.
I'm in the booth. I'm in the booth. Say something on the mic. Booth. Say something heavy.
Yo, that's what I'm talking about. My young boy up in the booth. He get ready to kick it live.
Whip for might get deported. Fish me alive, less than anointed. Broke this at 111, recorded. Clock struck 12, bank on Warner. My son was Stony, just for the stock, nigga. Still independent, been in the lot, nigga. Cream on the seats, cream of the crop, nigga. Had to wait for the heat, then whip the yacht, nigga. Talk overseas, no Portuguese. I made kiss on the sleeve, my soul is clean. Whole word of respect, or just a check. Lessons in the city where they preach, I'm on the best. Papa told me, don't trust no more. Mama told me, don't trust no hoe. Show these switching sides, baby, that's a no-go.